Welcome to another session on rapture and the end time events. In our previous session, we talked about rapture. That was exclusively about rapture. We studied 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verses 13 to 18, and we talked in detail about the rapture. We studied in that session that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to appear in the sky, and the believers in Christ are going to change. Those who are already asleep will rise, they will be resurrected, they will have new bodies, and those who are alive at the coming of the Lord will also change, they will also have new bodies. That means all of us will have new bodies, regardless of whether we're going to be alive or asleep in the Lord at the time the Lord comes. Then we all are going to be snatched away. It is going to be an exciting event, and it is going to be a sudden, swift, and a violent snatching or taking away of those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why it is called rapture. The believers in Jesus Christ are going to disappear from this world in a fraction of a second. And Holy Spirit, of course, instructed or exhorted the believers to draw comfort from this truth, or also told the believers to comfort one another with these truths. Now we're going to go to the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. In the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul again talks about end time events, but this time he begins not with the rapture, because he already said everything he wanted to say about rapture. Now he's going to talk about the day of the judgment, or the day of the Lord. Let's read chapter 5 verses 1 through 3. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. The believers in Thessalonica knew about rapture and also about the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord used in the Bible refers to the day of judgment. That is how it is often used in the Bible. The expression the day of the Lord is used over 19 times in the Old Testament. And every time that expression is used in the Old Testament, it always referred to the day of judgment, whether it was going to be the immediate judgment, which would be the past judgment for us, or the judgment in history for us, or it would refer to a judgment in the future, in the far future, or in other words, the judgment in the end times, or towards the end of the world. The opening statement in this chapter, in this chapter 5, makes it very clear that the believers in the church in Thessalonica had a clear understanding of the day of the Lord, or the end time events, or at least part of the end time events. The church in Thessalonica knew everything that God wanted the believers in that church to know about rapture and the day of the Lord, or the day of the judgment. And I think, and I should say, not only the believers in Thessalonica, all the believers, all the churches in every age has sufficient information in the Bible about the rapture and the day of the Lord. The Apostle Paul had explained to them, I'm talking about the church in Thessalonica, the Apostle had explained to them about the rapture and the end time events, or the day of the Lord, in great detail. Then in this epistle, in the previous chapter, he clearly talked again about rapture, and he brought or included few more important things that he had not taught them when he was with them. The discussion in this chapter is not primarily about rapture. It is about the day of the Lord or the day of judgment. In this chapter, he is asking the believers not to become distracted by the timing of God's judgment. And he's reminding them, he's saying, you already know this. You already know that the day of the Lord or the day of judgment is going to come when no one is expecting it. He's therefore exhorting. He's exhorting the believers in Thessalonica, and I would say he's exhorting us also to live godly lives in view of the promises concerning the rapture. And as discussed earlier, the believers in the first century were expecting the Lord Jesus to return in their lifetime. They were concerned about the fellow believers. They were concerned about the fellow believers who had died or slept in the Lord before the rapture. And in fact, they were grieving for them because they had no idea what would happen to them. They didn't know whether these believers who had died would be included in the rapture. And Paul explained to them what would happen to them when the Lord returns. And the new information through this epistle to the Thessalonians brought much comfort to the church in Thessalonica that was going through much sorrow and grief because they didn't know about those who died in the Lord and the rapture had not taken place yet. But now that they have complete information, they are comforted and they are no longer in grief or sorrow. I want you to pay attention to the pronouns in verses 3 and 4. After telling them that you already know how the day of the Lord is going to come, he says in verse 3, "For when they say peace and safety," I want you to pay attention to the pronouns, "when they say peace and safety, it is going to come upon them." When they say peace and safety, it is going to come upon them, and they shall not escape. Paul did not say, "we," or "you," or "some of you," shall not escape. He said, "they shall not escape." The pronouns "they," "them," or "those," and "you" in this discussion makes it clear that the church will not be upon this earth when the day of the Lord comes, or when the day of judgment comes, or when the wrath of God begins to take place, or when the wrath of God comes upon this earth, which would indicate the beginning of the Lord's day. Paul further clarifies in verse 4 that the day of the Lord will not surprise you, meaning the believers or the church. And he said, the day of the Lord will not surprise you like a thief. Then he gives the reason for that. Believers are children of the light. That is, they are the children of God, and they don't belong to darkness. So he told the church, hey, you are children of God, you are children of light, you don't belong to darkness. Besides, you will not be here upon the earth when the wrath of God is poured out upon this earth. Those who believed and accepted the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ on the cross has been rescued from the kingdom of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of light. You can read that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Since believers in Christ are in the kingdom of light, they will not be subjected to the wrath of God. The Lord said in John chapter, the Lord said in John chapter 8, verse 12, that anyone who followed him will not be in darkness. So anyone who believes and follows Jesus will not be in darkness. He said that means if you are a believer in Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are not in darkness, you are in light. And then also in John chapter 8, verse 46, he said that he is the light. And he or she who follows the Lord Jesus Christ would have the light of life with them or in them. Then in verse 7, in 1 Thessalonians, we are coming back to 1 Thessalonians now. In verse 7, he said, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. The contrast between believers and unbelievers is set forth here very clearly. Unbelievers are in moral and spiritual darkness because of sin and unbelief. In verse 6, he said, let's not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. And this verse corresponds with other verses or passages in the New Testament where we are instructed to be sober and vigilant and watchful. We should not be sleeping, or we should not be indifferent or unaware of the spiritual warfare that happens around us. Then we move to verse 10. Verse 10 takes us back to the passage in chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. He says, it doesn't matter whether you are asleep or whether you are awake, meaning whether you are alive at the coming of the Lord, you are going to be with the Lord. We're going to live with the Lord. That means before you can be with the Lord and live with the Lord forever, you need to be resurrected if you're asleep, or you need to be changed if you're alive at that time. So he's referring back to the passage in chapter 4. When the Lord comes, all the believers will go with the Lord, as I just said, and we're going to be with the Lord forever. And the church in Thessalonica and all the churches in all the ages are reassured of her being taken from this earth upon the Lord's coming or at the time of rapture. And then we are told to, in verse 11, we are told at that time it was to the church of that century, now it is to the church of the 21st century, to comfort each other and build one another up just as you are doing. So we are told to comfort and encourage each other and also build one another up with these words of comfort and these words of encouragement. There is no comfort or encouragement if we are going to go through the wrath of God. There is no comfort in knowing that believers will be subjected to the judgment of the Lord. But there is comfort in knowing that we are not going to be a part of the final judgments of God because we will not be here. That brings a lot of comfort and that encourages us. And therefore, since we know we are going to be taken up from here when the Lord comes, and then we are going to be with the Lord forever, it doesn't matter to us whether we're going to be alive or dead when the rapture takes place. And the personal trials and the afflictions that we face in our lifetime here will seem very light and very short when we think about the rapture and the life or the time we're going to be with the Lord forever, which is eternity, which is never ending. And that again brings strength, comfort, and it brings boldness to live as Christians, live godly lives, and also to be powerful witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. In this chapter, the Holy Spirit emphatically set the difference between them and us. Them meaning the unbelievers and us meaning the believers. He's not trying to be politically correct. There is a difference between them and us when it comes to eternal life, eternity, when it comes to the end of life here, when it comes to rapture, when it comes to the day of the Lord or the day of judgment. There is a difference between them and us. The question now is, can they become us or can they become one of us? Certainly they can. God does not want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to have an opportunity to repent and believe in Him. And we can read that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. He wants everyone to be saved. And that is written in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. So in light of what we know about the will of God, that God does not want anyone to perish, and God wants everyone to be saved. If you and I are willing to share the gospel with others, other people, they can become us, or they can join us, they can become a part of us, or a part of the company of believers who will be included in the rapture, or who will be taken up to heaven to be with the Lord forever. So what are we supposed to do as believers and followers of Jesus Christ? We should quit worrying about rapture. We should quit worrying about end time events, the day of the Lord or the day of judgment. Because you and I cannot stop the wrath of God or the judgment of God. We cannot delay it. We cannot postpone it. Instead, I would say, let us focus on rapture. And let us live godly lives. Let us focus on living godly, righteous lives now. And then tell others about Jesus. So two things we can do. With the rapture in mind, we should focus on living godly and righteous lives now, and then be passionate about sharing Jesus with others. In Titus 2:11, we read or we are reminded that the grace of God, that is Jesus Christ, came to this world and paid the price for all mankind. And that grace, that is Jesus Christ, is teaching us. He is training us. And what is He teaching us or training us? We should renounce ungodliness and worldly lusts and passions. And then we must live soberly lives or self-controlled lives. We must live righteous or upright lives. We must live godly lives in this present age. And we can do that. We can do that with joy when we have the hope of the coming of the Lord to take us home. In the fifth chapter of this epistle of 1 Thessalonians, Paul begins with the day of the Lord, but quickly moves to the rapture once again. He closes the epistle by giving the foundational principles of Christian living. It is okay or it's fine to talk about the end time events. It is good to study about the end time events, about the day of the Lord or about the day of judgment. But our focus must be always the rapture. Because rapture will mark the culmination of the church age, and I believe it is going to be a spectacular event. We should talk about it, we should sing about it, and live our lives with that great day in mind, or that great event in mind. We will talk more about the Day of Judgment, or the Day of the Lord, and the end time events in another session. Until that time, I encourage you to focus on the rapture and live godly, righteous, sober, self-controlled lives, and be passionate about presenting Jesus to others. God bless you.